Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. My, how time flies. It's just 5 years ago that the mission reached. We cut the ribbon on that beautiful thing, and now it's opened, been open for 5 years, and we've been able to see how it's changed a big part of San Antonio. There's walking, running, biking, even paddling on the Mission Reach. How have you made use of the Mission Reach? And have you noticed a big difference in that area? Give us a call, 210-614-8987. Call in, say happy birthday, Mission Reach, 210-614-8980. With us today to tell us more, Suzanne Scott, the General Manager for the San Antonio River Authority, and Lee Marlowe, Sustainable Landscape Ecologist for the San Antonio River Authority. It's great to have you both here today.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
5 years.
Yes.
Wow. It's gone by so fast.
Yes, it has, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was just not that long ago that we were just saying, here, we're going to do this thing, and we're going to turn the old concrete ditch into this beautiful structure. We're going to landscape it, and the wildlife will come. And Lee, did they come?
They sure have.
What do we got there?
Well, we're currently finishing up the final stages of data collection for a study of the birds that are using the restored habitat. And so far, we've recorded 194 different species, and we've recorded 60,909 individuals using the restored habitat.
Including an eagle, is that right?
Yes, we've had a bald eagle a few times over the past couple of years, and we had an even more unique species this past May, a black-capped vireo, a very unique bird, and it was a very exciting time to see it in the river using our habitat.
So not just birders, but a lot of folks are enjoying the museum, the Mission Reach. I'm probably going to mix that up a couple of times. Sorry about that.
So, okay.
But we got these two great bookends for the San Antonio River and the San Antonio River Authority. Why did y'all come up with this thing? How did this come about?
Well, you know, this really dates back to very soon after the Corps of Engineers did the channelization of the river back in the late 60s and 70s. The community started saying immediately, oh, this is great for flood control, but we took out all the natural elements of the river. So even some of our leaders at the time started saying, can't we do this differently? But it really started going in the late 90s when people started realizing, could we go back and restore this ecosystem that we destroyed, still provide the flood protection, but really be able to look at it from a more ecologically sustainable perspective. So we went and talked to the Corps of Engineers in the late 90s to say, hey, could we go back into this project and see if we could add ecosystem restoration and recreation to the project. And at the time, the Corps of Engineers was really starting to evolve their ecosystem restoration mission because they'd traditionally been flood control, navigation, that sort of thing. They were starting to look at going back into some of these traditional trapezoidal channels to figure out exactly if they could restore them. So then they decided, yes, I think let's go in and restudy this to see if we could actually still provide the flood protection, but do it in a more naturalized way. So they started really in about 2000. We went and got some legislation changed, and then they started coming in and doing a feasibility study, the Corps of Engineers, and started looking at techniques that are called fluvial geomorphology. It's sort of a very highly engineered way of trying to have a naturalized channel. So that started in 2000, and then they realized technically feasible that we could do this so that, you know, we really jump-start into the mid-2000s, and we started realizing that this could be possible. So we started the design process, started working with Bexar County and the city of San Antonio, and really started to see that this could be a feasible option. So at about 2004-2005 timeframe, we finished the feasibility study, and then we were on our way. And now we were trying to get funding for it, which is always challenging with the federal government. But luckily, our partner through Bexar County was able to take a referendum to the voters in 2008, where there was a visitor tax that was added to visitors to the city to help pay for the project. So we were able to advance local funds to get the project done even faster than we could have if the Corps of Engineers was involved. So it's been a great project that we were able to complete sooner than we would have otherwise. We're able to get the project benefits sooner to the community, and that's what we're seeing now with, of course, the avian study that Lee mentioned. You know, a lot of those birds that we've seen there are actually coming specifically for the habitat that we created. There were birds there before, but the interesting thing is, because we've done these embayments and these interesting vegetative cover changes, birds have specifically come back for the habitat that we've created. That's what really shows us that this is working, that those specific, habitat-specific species. And I think Lee could probably talk a little bit more about that, but that's really what's exciting. We're also seeing a lot of monarch butterflies coming back. The vegetation has really started to attract all those species that would be naturally there, just couldn't because we had a channel that was in a very unnatural state.
I'm going to go to Chris, and Chris has called in. The number is 210-614-8980 as we talk about the mission reach. And Chris, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I live at Blue Star, and I've actually lived there for about 7 years. So when this thing started going, which was further than 5 years ago, we actually had a little bit of sidewalk available, and we could ride bikes and run and stuff. But it was pretty tough dealing with bicycles and walkers and runners. But over the years, I still live at Blue Star and I still bike a few times a week. The politeness that people have started to take on is really awesome. When you're riding, you know, you call on your left or you have a little bell and people scoot over. If they've got dogs, they'll tether them a little closer. And it's really been kind of cool living on the river, watching people just kind of co-mingle and coexist in their different things on the river. And the second part, real quick, is that with the birds, there is a great blue heron that has started coming every year. And I look forward to his visit. I don't know if it's a him or her. I'm not a birder. But I've named him Fred. And he shows up about November. He leaves about March. But he's pretty awesome. I watch him hunt. And I absolutely love the miss and reach. And I was a skeptic before it showed up. I thought, wow, who is going to use this 8 miles south? I'm so happy I was just dead wrong.
Well, Chris, thank you for calling in and bringing up some great points. Chris wasn't the only skeptic. There were other ones as well.
Yes, there were. And, you know, it's interesting. Chris is in the area that we call the Eagle Land section, which is there near Blue Star, which was actually, we did start, he's right, we started that one earlier than we started the rest of the Mission Reach, because that was kind of our trial area to see if this ecosystem restoration could actually be done. So we sort of piloted it in that section, and so they started seeing those benefits even sooner. And there was a trail that was along both Eagle Land and Mission Reach early on. It was called Mission Trails, and we did that. The city started that project a long time ago to try to get people to be drawn to the river for recreational purposes. But then when we came back and did the ecosystem restoration project, we widened the sidewalks, made them a lot better for recreational purposes, and he's seeing the benefit of that. They're wider, you can have more uses. I mean, we've had almost 1.8 million people on the trails since we opened the project. So this is just showing that there are more and more people are coming, and we have to share the trails.
So Lee Marlowe, this blue heron, Fred.
Yes.
We don't know if it's Fred or Frederica, but what is that a big deal?
Well, it's a big deal because it is an interesting bird. It's a bird that's not too afraid of people. I didn't know his name was Fred or if it's actually Frederica, but I've seen Fred hunt and catch fish, and it's just amazing to watch. And to be able to see a bird like that from the trail hunting in a natural system is pretty cool. There are also some other really interesting birds that appear in that area a little further downstream close to the railroad crossing, and there are usually about 7 ringneck ducks that will show up, and they haven't appeared yet this year, but hopefully Chris will be on the lookout for those too and many others.
And so not to belabor a point, but you know, the skeptics, so it's important to remember that there were skeptics, and there typically are, mm-hmm. but when we have successful programs, we tend to forget about those people, mm-hmm. the naysayers, and so when they pop up again, sometimes we give them more credibility than they deserve. So there were people who were saying, what were they saying, that this would never work, people wouldn't go down here, it would be too dangerous? What were they saying, Suzanne?
Well, you know, back in the day, I think that there were some skeptics about would it work? Could we still provide the flood protection and also, you know, add the trails and the trees? Obviously, when you put trees back into a flood channel, typically can take away some of the ability for that channel to convey floodwaters. But this is a highly engineered natural channel, so that we know exactly where all the trees have placed so that it wouldn't take away from the flood carrying capacity of the channel. But there were people concerned. There were also adjacent residents that were concerned by us bringing more people to the trails, that would potentially have, you know, people coming into neighborhoods that weren't there before, maybe causing some threats to those neighborhoods, maybe vandalism, that sort of thing. We really haven't seen as much of that. Now, we have had, I mean, I don't want to overstate the fact that there have been some challenges with some vandalism on the project early on. We had more of our signage that had been defaced and that sort of thing. But over these last couple of years, we've started to see less of that because I think the neighborhood people out there is deterring some of that. But also I think that people are starting to adopt the project more as part of their neighborhood. And that's what you start to see is more people using it, more people appreciating it. And then those maybe undesirable elements, they move on because they realize they're not going to be able to be successful with whatever they're trying to do.
Yeah, and as Chris mentioned, this has kind of been a community gathering
yes.
point. Neighbors meeting neighbors
yes.
and taking pride in the whole linear park.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have seen over and over again that people from other parts of town that have never been to the South Side are coming down there and enjoying the project. And particularly when we got the World Heritage designation in 2015, of course, the restored river was really noted in some of the evaluations towards that designation because they said now that the river is restored, the idea of the connection of the river to the missions was obviously more evident because of the restoration. So I think that people are realizing that now.
All right, we're taking a break. We'll take your calls when we come back, 210-614-8980. What are your impressions of the mission reach now that it's 5 years old? Were you also a skeptic? How did you get won over? 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about 5 years of the Mission Reach. If you've got a question or a comment, you want to say happy birthday, Mission Reach, call in. The number is 210-614-8980. Had a caller, Armando. He had to go, but he said that this was the best thing that has ever happened to the South Side. Suzanne Scott, General Manager for the San Antonio River Authority. Was that part of the intent that you would bring infrastructure, a quality of life improvement, an asset to this part of town?
Absolutely. You know, we had a pretty active stakeholder committee that served for 16 years. Lila Cockrell, former mayor, and a local architect, Irby Hightower, co-chaired that committee. And the citizens that were on that oversight committee really talked a lot about bringing the community back to the river. It was such an important goal of the project. And we really wanted to make sure that we achieved that in several ways. We achieved it through obviously adding the hike and bike trails, also adding the paddling, getting people engaged with the water was so important. And I think that paddling that we've added to the river has changed the dynamic completely. People that had never had the opportunity to get into a canoe or kayak are now doing that. We can do it not only on the Mission Reach, but now also up near our offices in the King William area. And we see so many more people taking advantage of that, which is a way that people can begin to have more of an appreciation for the river from its recreational perspective.
Are there other plans for it? Is this like a complete thing? It's done? Or what else is happening?
For Mission Reach?
Yeah,
Mission Reach is pretty much completed. I mean, obviously the restoration efforts still continue. We want to make sure that the vegetation that's coming in is well managed. We are starting to see that adjacent development, as you know, the San Antonio River Foundation completed recently the Confluence Park, which is an awesome addition to the banks of the river there at Mitchell Street, and it's a great gathering spot for education and community events. We're starting to see other activities happening along the project as well. So I think over time you're going to start to see more destinations along the Mission Reach, but from the construction perspective, that has been completed. However, the success of that project has also now led to the San Pedro Creek project that we've been doing with Bexar County. Obviously, that's underway now. And then the next phase of ecosystem restoration is we're really moving on to the West Side Creeks, Alazan, Apache, Martinez Creeks. That's where we've already done a study and we have a technical project that's been approved by the Corps of Engineers to look at the restoration of those creeks too, taking those channelized ditches and making them more naturalized. That's our next big effort, and we're working on getting that funded now.
I think a lot of people don't realize how important the creek system was to the early development of San Antonio, and they see the creeks today as this sort of as drainage and not really important, mm-hmm. but for many areas in San Antonio, those creeks were their lifeblood, and they depended on those in the earliest days.
Absolutely, and you know, we heard story after story after story as we were doing the San Pedro Creek and our West Side Creeks projects, that people, these were gathering places. They would go there with their families, they would fish, they would crawdads, and all kinds of wonderful things that people remembered and the stories that people would tell. But then when those huge floods came through in the 40s and really caused life and property, threats to life and property, that people started kind of fearing the creeks a little bit, going, oh my gosh, what's happening here? So then we came in and did the channelization, and although it was very effective from a flood control perspective, it really cut off those creeks from so many of those neighborhoods, particularly on the west side. So now through this restoration project, we're trying to use more modern engineering techniques so that we can make that balance. The city of San Antonio has already put in trail network along the west side creeks and to Elmendorf Lake, just as we did on Mission Reach. So hopefully we can continue with that ecosystem restoration. And that justification was also based on birds, that Lee was involved in that study as well. So again, this opportunity to bring back the ecosystem has multiple benefits to our community.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980, as we talk about 5 years of the Mission Reach. And Adele is on the line. Adele, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to say happy birthday to the Mission Reach. As owner of the Synergy Studio and the first tenant in the Pearl and the Museum Reach, I've been there for 12 years, and to watch the amazing development that has occurred all along the river and the restoration of the Mission Reach has just been amazing. I've taken thousands, really, of people who have come to the studio from all over the world down to the Mission Reach to see the amazing progress of our city. So I just want to say happy birthday.
All right, Adele, thank you so much for calling in. This is also, like we said, it was a tourist tax that kind of helped fund this,
uh-huh.
right?
Visitor tax. Uh-huh.
A visitor tax. So this was... this is something something that does bring in people from outside of the city to enjoy.
Oh, absolutely. We have seen so many different visitors coming in our city. They always go to the Riverwalk downtown, and now they're starting to go up to the Museum Reach, down to the Mission Reach.
They're not a runner tourist.
Yes, and of course the Rock and Roll Marathon has always been down on the Mission Reach project, which brings in tens of thousands of people. We do a lot of other organized events, organized runs and bike rides that bring visitors to our city. We've also have many ecotourists. Lee was just telling us today about a group. They had
a
group in this.
Well, the Native Plant Society of Texas State Symposium was held, and the emphasis was on the Mission Reach. And so we had a wide variety of speakers talking about flora and fauna, emphasizing the native plants, which is one of the critical components of the Mission Reach and the habitat restoration.
I'm going to plug in the Texas Public Radio, the TPR Board Day.
Yes,
we got a cleanup day that's coming up. Texas Public Radio is looking for volunteers. volunteers for Saturday from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. We're going to be assisting in the cleanup of the Mission Reach area, and we're going to be removing these invasive species and collecting trash and helping keep the Mission Reach nice and spiffy. So if you want to get involved with that, you can find out more on our website at tpr.org. But Suzanne, a lot of organizations are doing things like this.
Exactly. And I was just going to mention the TP Arbor. I mean, that has been such, that was a great, y'all were early adopters coming back on right after the project was opening. And this was something I know Lee was involved in trying to put that together. And I think that they really wanted to have an area where they could put add some trees and a nice place to gather. Lee, why don't you give some details on that?
Sure. So before the Mission Reach project, this area actually had some parking spaces and asphalt cover, and those parking spaces and picnic tables were moved over with the realignment of the adjacent road, and so this little natural area was left behind, and the project ended up restoring that with some native grass and wildflower seeds. But then with TPR's participation, we were able to come in with a wide variety of understory shrubs, all native plants, of course, and understory trees to help bring in that structural diversity that was important for that habitat.
Another important part of this stretch of the river is the history of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it connects downtown San Antonio to the missions. Mm-hmm. This is a historic link. This is a part of San Antonio that has been used and occupied by peoples going back thousands of years.
Absolutely. And as I said, when we did the World Heritage designation, really the restoration of the river started to tell that story about why those missions were established there to begin with. I mean, you needed to have water, you needed to have the flora and the fauna to support those missions. And with that story, we now have portals along the river, was part of the Mission Reach project that the county funded, to have different portals at each of the mission locations so that as you're coming down the trails, you can actually look up to where Mission Concepcion or Espada or San Juan or San Jose are located, and you can sort of start to begin to understand the connection, the connectivity between the river and the missions. And of course, the Acequia system, which is also such an amazing system that the National Park Service manages, and that is shows you sort of the engineering marvel that our early settlers had to harness the river and to be able to use it for irrigation purposes. I mean, the oldest water right in Texas is on that Acequia system, and we have to make sure that we can continue to have that flow, that the National Park Service has now a demonstration garden to show how the Acequias actually can still be used for irrigation purposes and how it was used during the Spanish colonial missions time to provide that the farming. So, I mean, I just think it's an amazing story that many people in San Antonio don't realize that we have these Spanish colonial resources right here in our backyard. And it's just another reason to visit the Mission Reach.
So we have an email from Hannah with every major public investment, there are impacts to surrounding property values. How is Sarah working with the community and other partners to ensure the impact of their projects aren't negatively affecting existing neighborhoods? So the question is, you know, as we make everything nice and spiffy, does it impact property values, gentrification? And of course, there is the issue of the mission trails. That's also a subject that, you know, we have to think about.
Sure. Well, yes, and this is always something that we continue to have to manage when you do these types of infrastructure investments. And obviously, there's
I mean,
two
we can't
of every,
not improve yeah. the city yes. because we're afraid exactly. of that impact, but we have to think about
to
how
think
do
about
we
it.
Alleviate the negative consequences.
Exactly, and I think that it goes both ways. I mean, we have seen some people that have been located along the Mission Reach that have now, they've taken it upon themselves to fix up their house, to make their property more attractive so that they can sell it for a higher value because they, as the owner, can get more money for something, for an asset that they've had for many years. So they're benefiting from that. Of course, we have to manage the adverse impacts that you can see from these types of projects. But it's something that anytime that you make these investments, you have to manage. But you can't keep property owners that are adjacent to these projects from taking advantage of the opportunity and the amenity that's right there. And many of the people along the Mission Reach are beginning to do that for their own benefit as property owners.
All right. And so real quickly, last word, Lee Marlowe, can you talk about, are more birds coming? Are the birds tweeting to each other that this is a great place to go?
They are. And we've got a great resource on our website that shows some of the information about the different habitat types and the species. They're coming. Please get out and just bring some binoculars and take a look and get involved in and active on the mission.
Maybe you'll get your spark bird, the bird that really turns you on to birding right there. Lee Marlowe is with the San Antonio River Authority, and Suzanne Scott, the general manager of the San Antonio River Authority. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you so much for tuning us in.